9:33 and start by acknowledging Wundamuka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who may be here this morning. Just a quick housekeeping note for those in the room. In the event of an evacuation, I would ask that you remain calm and follow my directions. I'll be remaining calm. And the emergency exit is through the gallery doors on your left and down the stairwell to the exit on Bloomfield Street. A quick run through on public conduct at our meetings, as is required under Section 32 of our standing orders. All members of the public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent and leave the meeting if you need to take a call. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period that is decided by the chairperson, and this could include future meetings. I've not been advised of any leave of absence, councillors, and speaking about absence, we haven't had our Reverend turn up in the Minister's Fellowship this morning, so we might just move straight on to declaration of interest on any items of business. And if I could just read that out, councillors are reminded of their responsibilities in relation to a councillor's material personal interests and conflict of interest at a meeting. That's covered in Division 5A of the Local Government Act 2009 and an appendix running to the sheet. Details of these responsibilities are also outlined in the agenda. And I would also like to remind you that declarations can be made at any time throughout the meeting. Councillors, on that particular item, I'd like to take this opportunity to point out an oversight on my behalf. At the 21st of February meeting, Council voted on item 6.1.1, Cleveland Power Planning Environment Court Appeal. Dwella Milling is a subsidiary of the applicant Cleveland Power, is on my register of interest, and as such, I should have declared that interest as per legislation, but in this case, I didn't do so. This was an error on my part, and while it was a late report referencing the withdrawal of an appeal, not a development application, and was a subsidiary of the applicant on my register rather than the applicant itself, I really should have picked this up. So at the end of the day, the vote was unanimous and in line with the officer's recommendation, so I don't believe it would have altered the outcome, but still it is my responsibility to declare an interest. In this case, I didn't do so, and so I do sincerely apologise for that. I would ask that my notes, my apologies and my comments today be noted in the minutes. Any other declarations, councillors, at this point? Okay, moving on to recognition of achievement. Councillors, any recognition of achievement? If I could probably just take this opportunity myself and the CEO would like to acknowledge the response that we've had in regards to the SEQ water pipe burst incident on Clay, Carragara and Lamb. Although it's still a work in progress and water has been restored but not yet to a critical standard, and the boiled water notice still applies. There was some incredible responses by officers, so I might actually allow the CEO to congratulate those people who were involved and thank them for their commitment over a long period of time, and then I might just deal with them.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just I do want to make note of the, I think it was almost 60 council employees that have been involved in the effort to deal with the resupply of water on those three islands. In addition to obviously the incident management team, which was stood up on Monday afternoon, and we had a full response from all of our emergency services, our hospitals, our ambulance, our water police, fireys, everybody who put in on that afternoon. In particular, in terms of the council employees, infrastructure and operations, Kevin McGuire, I see you sitting down there. Thank you to your team. I know we're still dealing with the water testing, and there is still a boiled water alert current. A disaster planning operations, our integrated customer contact centre, our environmental health teams, community safety, city sport and venues, communications, engagement, tourism teams, our Simbi city operations team, and our South Street depot team. Everybody does put their shoulder to the wheel at these times, and I just really want to sincerely thank council employees and our agency responses, of which there are over 30 for that incident quite sincerely on my behalf, the organisation's behalf.
I think it's fair to say that from every incident we have on any of our islands, that there's always a learning, and I'd like to thank Councillor Edwards, who first brought it to my attention, because it wasn't something that I was advised of formally in regards to the incident occurring, and it wasn't our pipe, it was SQ Water's pipe, so it did require some quick action the next day to make sure that our community was well served and had access to water, which is obviously critical. But as we've learnt from previous incidents on our islands, and we now have in place our community champions who allow us to have a response on the ground almost immediately rather than waiting for transport to get us to the island, and they did an outstanding, stellar job in doing that. So if I could just, on behalf of Council, on behalf of SEQ Water, if I could be so bold, thank the volunteer organisations that supported the effort. We have community champions, five core volunteers there for the entire incident. We have Lamb Island Residents Association, SES volunteers, Rural Fire volunteers, and between these people, they managed water distribution stations from Monday opening till 10 p.m, Tuesday 6 a.m. to 10 p.m, and again today from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And not only that, they took water to those who were vulnerable, who couldn't get to the stations. They covered it overnight on call roster in case those vulnerable people needed emergency access to water. And made special deliveries to McPhay Island School and to Food Care, who delivered to their high needs patients. So it really was a team effort on behalf of our community as well, and certainly we couldn't have dealt with this incident as effectively as we did without their assistance, and for that we're very grateful. For no other recognition, councillors, we go to receipt of and confirmation of minutes. May I have a mover and second for minutes of the general meeting held on the 10th of October be confirmed? Councillor Elliott? Certainly.
The item I raised is the issue of the consultation on the dogs in the Liverpool Street. I oppose that. Let me know that. And also, the way when we did the corridors, it's the back and front, it should be the other way around. So bring the first motion goes first, not second. But those two need to be taken. Unless there's further comment.
Thank you, Mayor. I had sent that through, so it wasn't done already before it went out to the public. Yeah, the order change. That's what I thought. I thought it had gone out correctly. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The changes to the policy 3076 reimbursement provision of facilities for councillors is still lying on the table. That will be removed from the table at a future general meeting. 7.2, so making of various local laws, council resolved that we bring back further reports which separates them. Three of those reports are actually in today's agenda, 12.3, 12.4 and 12.5, with the remainder to come back to a future general meeting.
Thank you, CEO. That takes us then to our public participation section. So in accordance with Section 31 of Policy 3127, Council Meeting Standing Orders, a period of 15 minutes may be made available by resolution to permit members of the public to address the local government on matters of public interest relating to local government. A priority will be given to members who have actually formally made a written application to do so. So with that, I believe Gail Newman from the islands and wants to talk, will also be presenting a petition as I understand it. So councillors, can I have a mover and seconder that we adjourn the meeting for a period of 15 minutes to allow this public participation segment? Move Councillor Edwards, second Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. Would you like to start?
Thank you, Mayor.
Well, I'll just give you the drill. I think you know it, but you need to state your name.
Yes.
Suburb, organisation you represent. Stand, unless you're unable to do so, but you're doing that right now.
Yeah,
happy to speak to
Cora. Indeed.
Let me run through it, Cal, just for process. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed to any individual council employee, council member of the public. Ensure that all comments relate to council as a whole. Just a reminder that I have responsibility as chairperson to consider each application on its merits, give priority to members of the public who have made a written application, determine the maximum number of speakers, and I also have the responsibility of withdrawing the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. And as you know, our debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Gail Nemeth. I am a resident of Mackay Island, and I'm here on behalf of our parking spot group. Thank you for allowing me to address you. I address you today on behalf of Lindsay Hackett and myself, the principal petitioners for the petition that will be presented to you later in this meeting. The petition is in support of Council's latest actions towards solving the problem of parking at Wenham Creek. To date, islanders have become fed up with the lack of action by Council regarding Wenham Creek. The community has been seeking the multi-level car parking station solution for 10 years, since 2008, when it acted forcibly to stop the then Council plan to control parking at Wenham Creek by limiting the number of parking spaces and charging fees. Many islanders, when approached to sign the petition, made comments like, "Why should I bother to sign the petition? Council doesn't listen, and it's probably just playing with us. It will do or not do whatever it wants, and to heck with our needs." This response is disturbing, but widely held. It is one reason why some islanders declined to sign the petition. The Redland Bay community, too, is sick and tired of the many years of delay in removing the untidy and unsightly spread of cars parked throughout the Wenham Creek precinct, depreciating their property values. Likewise, islanders continue to be disadvantaged by being denied the right to access mainland destinations with the same facility as do mainlanders. That is, to be able to park and use their cars on the mainland. We do appreciate that Council has done much towards adding overflow car parks at Wenham Creek, but playing catch-up leaves a constant source of worry for islanders. Many suffer fines for parking illegally because there are insufficient parking spaces and ferries do not wait. Friends and family from the mainland are reluctant to visit islanders because they often cannot find a parking space. Some mainlanders use the area too as a spare garage and for park and ride conveniences, thereby reducing the spaces for islanders. The consequences are frustrating and financial depreciation for the islanders with a lack of public parking, islander property prices kept low, and many islanders given little option but to pay and park in private residential spaces. The need for parking at Wenham Creek is critically important to the island and islanders. The area at Wenham Creek between the barge ramp and Wenham Creek tributary is the port for islanders. It is the islanders' only toehold on the mainland, too small to be called a foothold. The area adjoining the ferry terminal is state land held in trust by council for harbour purposes. The area is zoned marine activity. The point we wish to make is that all activity and development within this area should be focused toward enhancing the use for its use by and for islanders, the prime users of this essential port. Making the area aesthetically pleasing is desirable. However, any emphasis by council towards enhancing this very small area of the Redlands coast, especially for the benefit of mainlanders, is misplaced. There is absolutely no imperative, however, desirable for islanders, however desirable for this area, to have foreshore parking foreshore parkland, bike paths, or any other attributes that detract from the use as a port for islanders, and possibly as a park and ride for mainlanders. Indeed, all parking at Weenham Creek can be considered park and ride, even if some parking is long term. Now at last, according to council releases and discussions, council is addressing the issue to achieve a proper and lasting solution. Most islanders are very pleased at that statement made and very much hope the council means what it says. Many do remain sceptical, however, as mentioned earlier. Council now says it will build a multi-level car parking station for islanders on the state government land adjoining the ferry terminal. This parking station will have sufficient parking to satisfy present demand, and by appropriate design of the station area will cater for future demand. Importantly, council will ensure that there is sufficient parking or sufficient free parking for islanders who need it, noting that the socio-economic status of the island community is one of the lowest in Queensland in the Australian Bureau of Statistics scale of socio-economic disadvantage scores. On average for the Bay Islands, 7 out of 100. For Redland Bay, for example, the score is 84. All calculations have confirmed that a multi-level parking station would be self-funding if built by council at a government rate of borrowing over 25 years. There would be no liability on council in terms of having to pay back a loan from rates, etc. After the payback period, council would receive parking fees without deduction, an income of about $1.25 million annually in 2011 money. Certainly, any ancillary residence and mixed-use development that council might want would need different consideration. These ancillary uses can be considered extraneous to council needs, however, and should not impede the main objective of providing sufficient and affordable parking at Weenham Creek for islanders and into the future. All adjoining the ferry terminal, council control of free spaces via a permit based on the ability to pay would solve mainlander spare garage problems and would be seen as equitable by islanders. This could be done, for example, by using a council database to identify people who are receiving council rebates. The use of the area as a park and ride is sensible, but must be acknowledged and allowed for by providing parking spaces additional to those needed by islanders. The petition that will be presented to council today is not trying to change council's position or to interfere. It is intended to support council in its latest endeavour towards fixing the parking issues at Weenham Creek. The petitioners applaud council's actions.
Thank you. Thank you, Gail. Just checking if there's any other members of the public that would like to address council this morning. No, there is no? Okay. Move out of public participation. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Next item, councillors, petitions and presentations. I believe Councillor Edwards, you have a petition to present.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. A petition which I'll read. Petition from residents requesting council progress the redevelopment of the Wynnum Creek Priority Development Area. A, with the delivery of a car park at Mills Road so the cars can be relocated, a ferry terminal and bus interchange to enable the construction of multi-level parking station at the ferry terminal. B, by requesting the state government, including Economic Development Queensland, to approve the development application without further review, consultation or delay. C, being aware of the two petitions presented to it on the matter being 19th of October 2009, signed by 1,717 people, and 16th of April 2011, signed by 6,151 people. And B, being fully aware of the petition on the matter submitted to the state government on the 19th of October 2009, signed by 1,715 people, I move the motion that the petition be received and referred to a committee for the Chief Executive Officer of the Commission and the Report of the Local Government.
Moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. Any other discussion required?
Could I just make some points in relation to it? I've been closely involved with the petition from the outset, but I have been advised that I don't have a conflict of interest with it because it's a normal course of business for councillors in working with the community. Wynnum Creek is the only transit point for the Islands community, and in my opinion, is the most critical transport infrastructure in the Redlands. It is more than a front door for the Islands, it's actually the lifeline for the Islands community. The PDA has been designed to remedy the acute parking conditions and deliver a long-term solution that will ensure the community will benefit and thrive. The PDA will also deliver a raft of benefits for all the community, both on and off the Islands. To progress the PDA to construction, it's essential to provide additional overflow parking to enable parcels of land to be developed, with the key construction being a multi-level car park facility in front of the ferry terminal. Moores Road land is provided by council to enable overflow parking to enable construction of buildings within the PDA. This petition is tangible support from the Islands community supporting the application of the state government for Moores land to be used as parking so the PDA can progress. The delivery of community infrastructure such as the multi-level parking facility is funded through joint commercial developments with the private sector. This overflow parking will ensure that negotiations can continue as Wynnum Creek can continue to function as a transit hub during construction. With Redlands Investment Corporation striving to achieve whole of islands parking at the ferry terminal, the future use of Moorless land could be reconsidered for alternate uses once the PDA has been delivered. There has been over 600 signatures in this petition. I've been advised that there have been many, many more that have been received by email. I'd like to thank the community for their support in this matter.
All right, councillors, so we have a mover and seconder. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried. Is there any motion to alter the order of business? Let's go. Oh, presentation. My apologies, Tracy. Did you advise me? A presentation?
Pardon me. Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to table this report to the general meeting today regarding a KPMG Smart Cities Roadshow that was held last Thursday in Brisbane City. Councillors Julie Tolte and I attended the KPMG Smart Cities Roadshow on Thursday the 18th. The morning event was well attended by councillors, CEOs and council staff from various Queensland councils, and with a quick response to the emailed invitation, we were able to attend free of charge. Love an early bird. The agenda for the morning was lively, with the opening by Lord Mayor Graham Quirk highlighting innovative opportunities for Queensland councils, including open data websites with data sets and hackathons, an innovation lab, rainfall and creek sensors for early alert sensors that offer real-time advice on rising waters, Slow for Sam speed aware monitors, heat sensors that trap invasive species, drones and autonomous vehicles. This was an inspiring opening introduction for the event. There is just so much happening in this space, literally. Matt Collins, General Manager of Cities Transformation Task Force, Queensland Treasury, was the first keynote speaker. His presentation was on the importance of the progression of the SEQ City deal, with a detailed timeline and focus on the value for the entire region. We spoke about this at our last meeting. It's not just one standalone council. He emphasised the benefits of a collaborative approach to federal funding. The second keynote speaker was Robert Matchett, referred to as Bob, from ENE Hub, presenting on the technologies that will transform our cities. His depiction of what a boom ecosystem will look like was futuristic. But not so. This technology is now available and coming to a light post near you, hopefully sooner rather than later. The boom, which was build, own, operate and maintain a smart city's infrastructure, offering a 24/7 communication network, both wireless and optical fibre deployed via a smart pole, was thought-provoking indeed. The new technology, combined with ageing light posts and clever procurement, can deliver opportunities for a community clearly offering so much. Dr. Scott Burke, Chief Innovation Officer, Office of the CEO, Sunshine Coast, set out to share his journey with the council's current projects. And that we always love a bit of initials here and there, SCIBN, the Sunshine Coast International Broadband Network. That caught all our attention. Boldly, the Sunshine Coast was able to bid and win for the tender for the International Broadband Submarine Cable Project, opening their region to the world via fibre optic cable. With the presentations followed by a panel session with the topics of setting the priorities for our cities, questions from the floor were answered by Miss Jamie Leach, Matt Collins, Malcolm Middleton, and Deborah Howe, who was the strategic growth and development from the Livingston Shire Council. She was a really informative woman. She knew her stuff. She was great. Following the panel session was an interactive think tank session, offering topics on leadership challenges, legal and regulatory challenges, the digital staircase, and the UX challenge, which I wasn't sure what that was. I didn't attend that one. With a closing discussion on pulling it all together and prioritising what's next, this was a very informative and visionary morning and well worth attending. We saw one of our Redland City Council staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Tracy, for providing such a detailed account. It was well worth the time, councillors. I'll just give a little bit more detail, if I can, on a couple of points. The discussion about the boom, build, own, operate and maintain smart cities, was really interesting. There's technology available where fibre optic cable is built into light poles, and then you can come along as technology develops and just bolt onto those light poles whatever that technology is in the future. It allows for camera operation, Wi-Fi networks, security and policing technology, and the cost was not discussed, but it was very, very smart technology, and it made for very interesting opportunities for building places, particularly city hearts and commercial centres. It was interesting with the CEO from the Northern Council came in, and from the Livingston Shire, and that was very interesting because she's talking about the practical difficulties in regional councils of incorporating all of this great technology when you have such limited funding, and when people don't understand the technology, the ability of them to see forward into the future, the need to spend that money. But one thing I would like to note for councillors is at the end of the session, we went into different workshops, and the one that I attended was parking technology. And there is technology available now which allows through an app for cameras to be placed, for example, in the main street, and for people that are coming into the heart of the town to be able to look up the parking on their app, and it will tell them down to exactly the spot. It will tell them there is a spot in Bloomfield Street, there are 3 spots in Middle Street, there are 15 spots in Queen Street, etc. So it's really interesting, and I think when we've got parking as such a topical thing to discuss at our centres, our points, Cleveland Point, Wellington Point, Wynnum Creek, Toondah in the future. I thought that this technology had great opportunity and application for us, and it's something that I will be raising to see if officers could look into. It seems fairly inexpensive, and it allows a great service for our community, and it has both an opportunity to service the community externally and to provide internally council with data that they can use in real time. It provides all of the statistical data on how many times a parking place is used, the length of time it's used. It allows the real data to be provided so that we can make informed decisions in regard to parking in the critical areas of our city. So, yeah, it was well worth the day going into town, as much as I hate the traffic and the parking in town. Thank you.
Thanks, councillors. Any other presentations? Okay, we'll move on to order of business. That was a great summary of your experiences at KPMG Smart Cities, and certainly Councillor Mayor's been speaking in that space quite a bit. No motions to alter the order of business. We'll move straight to reports to Council, and so that starts with item 12.1, September 2018 monthly financial reports. We have a mover and second, and move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
I'm happy to move the report 12.1, the September 2018 monthly financial reports. And as per usual, I'll let her have a drink of water first. I'll pass over to Deb to do the highlights. Thank you.
We'll go through the highlights first, Councillor.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Council, for the opportunity. So this is the September report at the end of the first quarter, so we can note, Council will note that 10 out of the 11 key performance indicators are met. Because we've come to the end of that quarterly rates cycle, cash balances remain strong. It's a strong balance sheet, and we're seeing that the statement of comprehensive income, or the P&L as some might know it, is looking favourable to budget. Councillors will note that a budget review is coming, so ELT and senior officers are working through, based on our September figures, to see do we need to reprioritise budget, capture some savings, as we always try to do throughout the year. Happy to take questions, Madam Mayor.
Anything to add, Councillor Boglari?
The officer answered my questions before this morning's meeting.
So, any speakers against? You have a question, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. On the page 5 of the report, the first page of the report, page 5, we talk about overdue rates aging analysis, and this has come out of our audit committee. Deborah, could you just update us on this? Thank you. This point.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you to the Councillor, thank you for the question. So as you'll note in the cover report, we have a great audit committee, and we were asked through the audit committee to consider including a breakout of overdue rates. We have included this in the past, so it's information that Council may find of interest, and it's something in the finance group that we obviously place a lot of importance on, because we need people to be paying their statutory rates and charges to reduce burden on others that do pay on time. So we've included that information. We held off, the audit committee asked on the 29th of August, but we held off until the audit committee meeting minutes were tabled at the general meeting of the 10th of October. So that's why they've been included in the September report. And the intention is to include them every month unless Council chooses otherwise. Thank you. So I think it's page 13 of 14 of the report, Councillors. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any other questions? Comment, Councillor Edwards?
Excluding the asset standard of the budget, like this is the first time I've seen ticks on all of our key performance indicators for a long time. I know they bounce around, they go, but it's good to see all the ducks lined up occasionally, and that's good work. And I know it won't stay that well, but I haven't seen it like that for a while. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Edwards. Any other comments? None. Anything further to add, Councillor Boglari? Put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Carried. Unanimous. Makes sense. The next item is the Queensland Audit Office Financial Management Report 17-18. Move and second from 12.2. Move Councillor Gleeson. Seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Mayor. On the 4th of October this year, audit meeting was held where the Queensland Audit Office, or staff in the Queensland Audit Office, gave us their annual report. The report was fairly glowing. They made some terrific comments about our staff and how terrific Redland City Council was to work with. I note also in the report, Mayor, that a number of the items raised throughout that process have been resolved as well. But yeah, the comments were really glowing about council staff, Redlands, and Mayor. Congratulated for that.
Any speakers against?
Sorry, Mayor. I will note, I didn't realise until I read this report, costs $136,500 to be audited.
Yep, that's what QIO charges, folks.
Thank you, state government.
Sorry, that no speakers against, but a question for Councillor Barry.
Just a question, if I may. Yes, congratulations to our finance department, because it even says no new issues and significant improvement with only 3 out of 10 outstanding things. So that's, and when you read through, it talks about improvement after improvement. I was just wondering, in the letter, it talks about how they actually present financials to the state government, and this year they're going to present ours. If they always present them, what's the difference then? Why? Or is it just a matter of courtesy that they're just letting us know ours is one of the ones chosen this year? There's nothing different, though, I thought.
They write that as part of, to justify their fee, Councillor.
Oh, yeah, because I couldn't understand. It always happens, so why do we have to get a letter about it? Just process. Okay, thank you.
No, Madam Mayor, through you, I think it's common courtesy. So the QAO tables many reports to Parliament. One of those every year is the financial audits on local governments, and Redland City Council is included every year, so it's common courtesy.
Yes, it is. It's in relation to the report. Just acknowledging that when QAO have been here and discussing their involvement with officers, they've always been very grateful for the forthcoming nature of the information, and also that the minimum requirement expectations of our cross-checking through the finance department are exceeded by including other measures which give more clarity, and that they actually find that very encouraging. And I just think that that's a testament to the officers and the way that they do their work. So through you, Madam Mayor, to Deb, back to the team, thank you very much.
Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. As this was a late report, I'm just checking that this report has gone out to the public as such, and I'm not sure why it was a late report. We only just got this yesterday, so I know we were still working on it. However,
I'll let Deb explain, but I'm sure you'll appreciate the reason waiting for.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Council, for the opportunity to explain that. It's a late report because the legislation requires our Mayor to table the Auditor's Observation Report at the very next general meeting. So we didn't receive the report until late last week, by the time we worked with the QAO and Bentleys to make final corrections and amendments to ensure it's 100% accurate. We can't table it. So two options: we can breach legislation and table it at a subsequent general meeting and it wouldn't be late, or we comply with legislation and whiz it out as soon as possible. So apologies it was late, and happy to take questions or further clarify if needed.
I think it's fair to say that it's not your fault for apology to give. We obviously have to, we're at the mercy of people providing us with the information.
And truly appreciate that explanation for those that were concerned as to why it was late. Thank you very much, CFO.
Any other comments? I guess just to reiterate the comments around the room, CEO and CFO, team, ELT, all those people. It's not unusual for us to get good comments from our audit office, and I think that's indicative of the focus that we have as a council on making sure that our finances are sustainable and that the process is clear and transparent. So thank you to all of you, and thank you, councillors, for acknowledging that as well. Would you like to sum up, Councillor Gleeson?
No, happy to just move it to me.
I put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you, councillors. Item 12.3, making of subordinate local law. Do we have moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards? Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
Just thanks, Mayor. Item 12.3. Council's done a proper consultation on the shipping containers. There was a report attached to this. And the law will come into effect on the 4th of February 2019. The community consultation is there for people to play. Certainly, I think this is a good move forward.
Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move a amendment to the motion, please. As per the one sent through by officers yesterday afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair. The local law, as it is proposed, allows a single shipping container on rural and larger properties. We think that there's probably further work to do with that, that there is probably not a need to limit that in that way, but we need to look more closely at the impacts that might have and the implications of that. So we're asking officers to go back and look further at the rural and environmental zones to see if that section is appropriate.
So that's speaker to the amendment, speaker against the amendment. No speakers against, so can I? Are we voting on the amendment now, councillors? Can I put that motion, the amended motion? Those in favour? Those against? So that amendment is carried. Those in favour is Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Gleeson, Bishop, Williams. Those against is Councillor Hewlett. So now, Councillor, that is the motion that we will be voting on. Would you like, do we have someone that would speak to the amended motion? Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Basically, this item is going to allow temporary containers on residential land to be only placed for the purpose of during construction of the building house, and on its completion, or when people move into that house, whichever is the others, that container must be removed. It also does allow for containers to be dropped to a property. Or whatever being loaded, it then must be removed at the same time. I support the amendment because the impacts of temporary shipping containers in a residential environment is much more severe than if you've got, say, 50 acre property, you've got a couple of containers in the library. So I'm supporting that work to come back. I understand that we can't decouple it in this process at the moment, that's why it has to go forward, but I look forward to that body of work being done so that we
speaker against. Okay, any further discussion required? Do you want to sum up, Councillor Todd? What's your amended motion? Your amendment.
Oh, simply to say that I agree with Councillor Edwards. Shipping containers in the urban areas, particularly with lots being smaller than they have been in the past, do cause amenity issues and problems for neighbourhoods. However, to apply the same regulation to the rural area and the larger lots, it doesn't make any sense. So whilst we still want good amenity in the rural areas, I think that it's easier for people to achieve that when they've got plant screenings and space. So I look forward to that work coming back.
Thanks, Councillor. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Boglari, sorry, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop. Those against? Councillor Hewlett. Moving on to 12.3, making a subordinate local law number 1.19. Number 4. Let me say it again. Local law number 4, controlled areas, facilities and roads. I have moved that motion. Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. The local law process is a lengthy and cumbersome process that is very important to get right, and I think it's tremendous that these items are coming back individually, as there are many issues involved and a lot of consultation. This has gone out to consultation, and this report really relates to two specific points that bring some further clarification as to the definitions for culvert, local government bridge, local government culvert. There's a little matter that I would like to raise in relation to this that is not actually directly touched on by this report, but I just want to raise for councillors the fact that a resident I know did put in a submission relating to their desire to want to fish from a local bridge, but because the bridge that they intended to fish from in question actually is solid all the way down to the ground and has water either side, that submission was not considered eligible. But I do think it touches on the fine points of the detail that sometimes we deal with, and there are ongoing discussions to be had in relation to that particular matter, and I've asked for further clarification. Very supportive of this report, and so move. Thank you.
Speakers against, councillors? No speaker against. Put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 12.5, making welcome to law number 1, administration. Mover and seconder. Move Councillor Edwards. Seconder Councillor Elliott. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, I just move the opposite recommendation. This is not a link to the previous one of the components. Basically allows council the ability to remove shipping containers or other structures illegally if they're not removed by the owners.
Speaker against? Comments, questions? No? Put the motion. Those in favour? Against? That's carried unanimously. Thanks, councillors. Item. Oh, pardon me.
I wonder if you'd like to inform the public what we're doing the other three. We had six lives.
I'll get the, just quickly I'll get the General Manager of Organisational Services to explain.
Councils recall the last council meeting we decided to split them and bring them separately because there was a lot of information in those reports. We've broken them up primarily because, again, we didn't want to bring back hundreds of pages and there was no desperate urgency, but also on at least one of those other amendments, we're still doing some work. And we had information requests from councillors to provide some more detail, so we really didn't want to preempt that work. We want to try and work through that before they come back. So hopefully they'll be coming back shortly.
Okay. So outside of the agenda, that comment, 13.1, decisions under delegated authority, move Councillor Mitchell, seconded. Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to Councillor Mitchell?
No, Mayor, I think it's all pretty straightforward, and just move the officer's recommendation and note the report.
No comments, questions, councillors? Motion, those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. 13.2, mover and seconder, thanks. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded. Councillor Boglari, any comments, councillor?
Thanks, Mayor. It's item 13.2. This is just approved this for council. Straightforward.
Any other comments or questions? There are none. Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 13.3, 18-19, register fees, minor amendment. Mover and seconder, thanks. Move Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Elliott. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. Moving item 13.3, the 2018-2019 Register of Fees Minor Amendment. As per the report, you can see that this actually is a very minor amendment. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Item 14.1. Item 4, move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This relates to the significant project of works that has finally come forward in Collins Road and School of Arts Road to realign the road and make it safer. It's has become apparent through the engineering that to provide the footpaths and the drainage that's required, a little bit more land is required. So they are just adjusting boundaries essentially between the park and the road reserve.
Are there any speakers against? Any other questions or comments, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 14.2, councillors. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Item 14.2 is the Russell Bay Island Waste Transfer Stations have been operating on trial basis of 7 days a week at reduced hours. and there's been a review to see how effective that's been. But no doubt that having the Island Waste transfer stations open 7 days a week has probably had reduced dumping of waste, which is good to see. So this is to continue that, and I understand that the cost of this can be met within the existing green waste budget.
Any speakers against? No comments or questions? Councillor Tolte?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to comment and add my support to this. I think that we really need to provide this service for the people on the islands, and we keep our tips open 7 days a week on the mainland, and we should do the same on the islands.
Is there another comment? Councillor Mitchell?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I was just noting the increase, well, there was a 31% increase in customers, which accounts for some of it, but 44% increase in green waste as well. Just wondering if there was obviously increased customer load through hours, but would the officers care to comment on those two things?
You may recall we had a big campaign to clean up after our fire. So the green waste that we took to our waste transfer station means that it wasn't becoming a fire hazard in our other areas of the island. Am I correct, officers? Rob. Any other questions? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Councillors, there's no mayoral minute. I haven't been advised of any notice of motion or urgent business, but we do have a couple of items that are required to be discussed in confidential. Do we have a mover and seconder? That's a question for you, councillors. Are you comfortable to make your decisions you'd like to go into confidential, Councillor Bogari?
Yes, I was going to move an alternate motion.
Okay. So we'll Councillor Boglari is moving that we go on to confidential, and it's seconded by Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. So if I could just thank the press and members of the public in the gallery for hanging around today as we asked you to politely clear the gallery. So, all right. Councillor Elliott has moved Item 19.1, the seconder for that, thanks. Councillor Boglari, those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 19.2, Councillor Boglari is moving the option 3.
Option 3, thank
in
you.
In the agenda. Move, yep. Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Against? Okay, those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Dolle, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop. Those against? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Wilson, Councillor Hughes. That is lost. So councillors will need a mover of the officer's recommendation as amended. Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. No, I wasn't going to ask you. That's okay. Thanks for anticipating that. So just to make sure that we're noting that that's as amended and discussed. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Tolkien, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hughes, and Councillor Bishop. Councillors. Item 19.3, moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors. meeting's closed at 11:13. Thank you for that very respectful debate, councillors.